Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. As we embark on a day of celebration of what God has done and what He is doing and what He will do, why should we remember? Is it important for us to remember? Is it just something that is just a casual thing, kind of fun to do? Or is it something that we were commanded of God to do? Does the Bible have anything to say about remembrance, memorials, those kinds of things? Actually, the Bible has a lot to say about those kinds of things. But it kind of begs the question for us, why did God give us a memory? Why does God tell us to remember? Why do we have communion? This do we as often as you partake of it, what? In remembrance of me. Why do we have mementos and souvenirs and pictures in our homes? You probably can walk into any particular home and tell the story behind this particular event, whether it was just you got it on a great sale, or someone gave it to you, or it came from that particular location, or whatever it may be. We have for years had a plaque in our room that was given by some dear friends. And the truth is, every time I looked at that plaque, I thought of those friends. A remembrance. Why do we have Thanksgiving? Or July 4th? Or Veterans Day? Why do we have museums and memorials in this country? Just recently, in July, my wife and I had the privilege of going to the World War I Museum in Kansas City, Missouri. It was a tremendous museum. Matter of fact, you enter the museum over a glass bridge, and underneath the glass bridge is a field filled with poppies, which was the symbol coming out of World War I in Flanders Field. It was a tremendous reminder of a lot of things that came out of that particular World War I. Probably the most recognizable picture or slash statue in the world is the statue of the Iwo Jima, when the five Marines and one Navy corpsman, by the way, everybody says Marines raised that flag, but there was actually a Navy corpsman involved with that. Five Marines and a Navy corpsman raised the flag on the top of Mount Suribachi in Iwo Jima in World War II. All of these things draw our memories to events, some of which it's good for us not to forget. God does the same thing for us. So this morning I'd like for us to look at these passages of Scripture, and there are far greater number of them than I thought. I told the people Wednesday night when I first started studying, I wondered if I could get a message out of it. I'm going to try to fit it all in two messages today, this morning and tonight, and then left out a lot of material. But here's what I'd like for us to see this morning. You must choose not to forget some things and to allow God to forget others. These are precious truths from the Word of God. Lord, help us this morning as we look at these truths. May they remind us of what You told us in Your Word. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. First off, this morning, I'd like for us to look at the meaning of the words remembrance or memorial in the Word of God. The Old Testament Scriptures talk about a memorial. It's used some 28 times in the Old Testament. And it simply means a remembrance or a memory. It's translated many times as remembrance or a memorial or memory or remembered, those kinds of things. In the New Testament, the word memorial is used three different times in the New Testament, and it means that by which the memory of a person or thing is preserved. Twice that word is used in connection to the lady who poured out the alabaster box on Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, wherever this gospel is preached, this will be told as a memorial for you. We're talking about it 2,000 years later because that's what Jesus said would happen. The word remembrance also is used in the New Testament, a remembering or a recollection. Sometimes it's translated a call to remembrance or a call to mind or to bring to remembrance, to put in remembrance. The Apostle Peter uses this four different times in 2 Peter alone. It's just three chapters. Three of those occurrences happen in chapter 1. Three times, almost in succession, he says, I'm going to put you in remembrance. I'm going to put you in remembrance. I'm going to put you in remembrance. Peter wanted them to know what was happening. Many of these verses that I'm going to use this morning can go for multiple things. You'll see them kind of crisscross today, but I've tried to limit it with just a few exceptions to one particular point. So the meaning of remembrance. But number two, let's look at the motive for remembrance. Why do people want to be remembered, and how did God see folks' remembrances? How did they appear to, how did God appear to deal with them when it came to their memories? It's very, very interesting. The first idea that we see in Scripture is for a legacy. And we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night, how Jacob had left a legacy for his children in the reading of the will in Genesis chapter 49, if you will. But God talks about this a lot. Matter of fact, a number of times, one of the judgments that he pours out on people is, I'm going to remove your remembrance from them forever, which is very interesting. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 26, he says, and I said, I would scatter them into the four corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 19, therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from thine enemies round about, and the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget. By the way, it wasn't long before Amalek as a nation ceased to exist. There's no one by that particular descendants. In 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 18, it says, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar. He built himself a statue, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. That's helpful. And it's called unto this day Absalom's place. In other words, he wanted people to remember him. I'm not sure he wanted them to remember him the way we remember him, but nevertheless, it is happening. In Job 18 and verse 17, it says, his remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. In Psalm 6 and verse 5, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? In Psalms chapter 34 and verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, it's interesting how God ties remembrance to a legacy of people. And in some cases, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. They're not going to be remembered anymore. Everyone really wants to be remembered, don't we? You want your children to remember you, your grandchildren to remember you. The truth is, we'd like for people to remember us. What kind of legacy are you building? What are you doing for people to really see you as someone that needed to be remembered? But not only was it for a legacy, but it was to be reminded of events that have been accomplished. Some of those as particular events, some of those as individuals. What's been accomplished and why should we remember that? Is it important for us, not only biblically, but as a nation, to remember the sacrifice of those who've gone before us and what they dealt with in order for us to be free today like we are? Did God want the children of Israel to remember? Did he want us as Christians to remember? Let's look first off at some events. In Luke 22 and verse 19, it says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Of course, referring to the Lord's Supper. Again, in 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, he again says, this do in remembrance of me. In Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Well, what's going on with this? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So God encouraged the children of Israel to take stones out of the Jordan River and to stack them up, and the specific reason for that was when your kids come along and say, hey, Dad, what's this pile of rocks here for? That they would say, let me tell you the story about these pile of rocks. When we first came into this land, we were on the other side, and the river was at flood stage, and there was no way to get across, and God told us to go across. And you're not going to believe this, but there was these priests, and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and God told them to just walk, and they had to wait, and when their foot got ready to step in the water, they stepped on dry ground, and the water just split up, and we all walked over on dry land. It was incredible, and 12 of us took these stones out of the middle of that river right there, and we piled them up here, and this is what God's done for us. He wanted them to remember. Have a pile of rocks in your yard? Probably not. But do you have some kind of remembrance? Are there some things that you're doing that are you can point back to what God has done? I'm going to talk a little bit more about this afternoon, but in mid-March, the Lord really convicted me about something that I was not doing. I was not specifically concentrating on the things that He had done for me. And if we're not careful, we'll forget what He is doing. And so I begin to write in a journal specific answers to prayer or specific encouragements that happened that God specifically sent my way. Now, March is not a long time ago, but 22 pages of that journal is filled up. Well, look at that, and my heart is automatically encouraged. That's part of what God wants us to do, to remember. In Exodus 13 and verse 9, "And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt." The Israelites were actually to put boxes of scripture on their hands and their forehead, and it was a reminder of what God had done for them. In Jude verse 5, it says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not." In other words, sometimes we just need to be reminded of stories that we already know. Most of you in this room could tell the story of David and Goliath. Or maybe you could tell the story of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. And you're like, well, if I hear another message on that, you know why God has us continually hear messages like that? So we don't forget. That's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be put in remembrance of the things that God has done for us. There was also opportunity for feasts and celebrations. We don't have time to go in this. It's literally, it would be a complete message in and of itself. But in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 4, it says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And then we look throughout the book of Leviticus, particularly Leviticus and Numbers. There were just a host of feasts and things, and all of them pointed back specifically to something that God had done. One of the reasons why He wanted them to celebrate the Passover was to remember the event that took place now thousands of years ago. Jews to this day still celebrate the Passover. Jews to this day celebrate the Feast of Purim. It came out of Esther chapter 9 and verse 28, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. God said, I want you to remember what happened. And of course, referring to the Jews' incredible deliverance from the people that were going to destroy them. In this particular feast, it's kind of interesting. In this particular feast, not only do they have incredible meals and celebrations and so forth, but they give gifts to each other and those kind of things. All of that so that they could remember not only what God did, but how they felt when God did it. I mean, can you imagine having a death sentence pronounced on you and there's absolutely nothing you could do about it? And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, by the way, not only do you not have a death sentence, but you can actually defend yourself. And we want you to do that. And they were able to do that, and God gave them a great victory. A tremendous thing to be able to point back to those times. But not only just events, but God wants us to remember people as well. Again, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, "When I call to remembrance," Paul says, "the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul remembered the incredible faith of individuals. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 13, we've already referenced this verse. "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." God wants us to remember individual people. But today we'll look at This afternoon, we'll look at some individual people that God has specifically brought along our path to raise up the Emmanuel Baptist Church, and what a thrilling thing it is. And what's interesting is we may forget some people. I can just tell you right now, I could have spent hours, literally hours talking about this. We have thousands of pitchers, but we just had to cull them down a little bit. But even those people who were never recognized, for instance, I have no idea who the people were that paid for the land that we're sitting on, but it was paid for in cash. They raised the funds to do so. I don't know who those people are. Perhaps some of these that have been here longer than 25 years contributed to that land. What a precious testimony that is for those individuals. And God knows who they are. Isn't that wonderful? When is the last time you thank God for His goodness in your life? When you specifically said, "Oh God, I remember that time. Lord, I remember the time that you did," and you fill in the blank. If you don't have any of those times, why not? Have you forgotten them? Or has God just stopped working in your life? It's quiet in here this morning. He wants us to remember. He wants us to remember. Do you use special occasions to draw attention to your God? I think it's wonderful to do that, to use even in holidays and events and so forth to point back to the God that we serve. But the third thing I think that God specifically wants us to have a motive for remembrance, not only for a legacy, not only to remember what has been done, but specifically, number three, we're to remember God's character. Once again, this could be in and of itself a subject, but let me just read you a number of verses. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, all you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalms 97 and verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Psalms 102 and verse 12. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover to Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, remembering names, and of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Psalms chapter 135 and verse 13. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 12. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. God's works, God's eternality, God's holiness, all tell a story about our God. And He wants us to remember those. Are you listening to His story? Do you know what He's done for you? Have you forgotten that? If we opened it up this morning and we said, I want you to tell me about your favorite person in the world. Would you tell me about the person that led you to Christ? Would you tell me about the person who had the greatest impact on you? Or tell me about the person who you enjoy spending time with, or you did. If you could choose to spend 1 hour with someone that's already gone, who would it be? All of you've got a memory in your mind automatically. I know. I can tell by some of your faces I knew who it'd be. I can tell you who my wife would be. She'd love to spend an hour with her daddy. We were just recently on a trip in July, end of June and July. And we listened to a CD, and a song came on that her father used to sing. Now, her father's been dead since 1982, and we're listening to this song, and all of a sudden, I hear crying. I looked over at her and said, your daddy used to sing that song? She said, yeah, he did. Remembrance. God says, I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget. I don't want you to forget me. Number three, we see the mess of memory. The mess of memory. You ever have some things you wish you couldn't remember? I know the answer to that question. Anybody in this room that's ever sinned wished you couldn't remember it. You may have pushed it out of your mind, but But honestly, you wish, you ever said something to someone and they took it the wrong way, but you just saw the hurt in their face and it was like, I bring those words back, but it's too late to do that now. Or you made a decision that you didn't think about maybe and it impacted someone's life, or maybe you did know that there would be some implications, but you had no idea the mess of memory. Can I tell you, my friends, this morning, if you're sitting here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God remembers your sin. He remembers your sin. Ezekiel chapter 21 and verse 23 and 24 says, "And it shall be unto them as a false divination in their sight, to them that have sworn oaths, that he will call to remembrance the iniquity that they may be taken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have made your iniquity to be remembered, and that your transgressions are discovered, so that in all your doings your sins do appear, because I say that ye are come to remembrance, ye shall be taken with the hand." In Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and 15 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." You say, well, see, I'm going to work my way to heaven. No. Verse 15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My friend, what you do with Jesus makes all the difference in the world. But if you die without him, everything you've ever done wrong is going to be remembered. And I want to tell you, I don't want that. I don't want that. No one wants to be remembered of their past. All of us have a past that's littered with sin. But if it's not washed in the blood, it'll be remembered. You say, well, what's the solution to this then? Well, I'm glad you asked. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness," God says, "and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." The Bible says they're buried in the depth of the sea. Amen. "As far as the east is from the west, I can't remember your sins anymore." What a wonderful promise that is. What a precious thing that is. You say, well, how do I get that? That's what Jesus Christ came to do. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came because every one of us in this room, it matters not what home you were born into, where you were born, it doesn't matter. You were born a sinner. All we like sheep have gone astray. All of us have turned into our own way. Every one of us in this room have sinned against God. You say, well, I'm not that bad. We're not talking about the degree of your sin. We're talking about whether or not you've committed even one. Just one. Because the Bible says that if you've committed even one, then you're guilty of the entire law. Ever had a bad thought? Ever thought that guy that cuts you off in traffic, if you could get a hold of him, you'd strangle him? Ever had anything like that? Ever disobeyed your parents? Ever disobeyed any law? Any rule? What was a dumb rule? It doesn't matter. Did you disobey it? Were you told to obey it? We could go on and on. The fact is, the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of those, God will remember, unless they're washed in the blood. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that he's taken them away. He's completely taken the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He took it out of the way. It's no longer there. We stand before him completely righteous, just as if we had never sinned. What a glorious thought that is. And simply because we repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. You say, well, how do I know he died for me? The Bible says he died for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Like, well, I'm too bad. Nobody too bad. We could name you people in the Word of God that by some estimation would be too bad. David was a murderer. Bathsheba was an adulterer. So was David. They're both in the line of Christ. What about the Apostle Paul, who haled men and women to prison just because they believed in Jesus Christ until he himself came to know Christ as his Savior? What about the woman that Jesus cast out multiple demons out of her life? Or the woman that was taken in adultery in the very act? And we could go on and on. What about the lady who had five husbands and the one that you're living with now is not your husband? Jesus said of the woman at the well. And all those things are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, you know, we could have people all across this room this morning stand up and tell you glorious testimony. People in this room with prison records. People in this room who have all kinds of stuff in their past, but it's all under the blood. It's not going to ever be remembered. And I want to tell you, that's something I'm grateful for. And so as we come to the conclusion of this, have you ever allowed Jesus to take your sins away? I mean, just take them away. I'm not talking about just temporarily get rid of them for a little while. I'm not talking about going and just telling someone something to get you a little bit of absolving for a few days. I'm talking about taking it away so that you never have to face them again. That's what Jesus came to do. And he wants you today to accept that free gift of salvation. He says today is the day of salvation. This afternoon, I'd like for us to look at the fourth thing, and that's the method of remembrance. How do we remember some things? But we'll get into that a little bit this afternoon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of opening it, and Lord, the challenge of remembering things. Sometimes we forget even basic truths that we just need to be reminded of. May you be pleased and glorified in everything that's said and done. Now, Lord, your Spirit now works. Would you help it to do so? And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around this morning. Just between you and the Lord, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, can I tell you that Jesus wants to bury your sins in the depth of the sea, never to remember them again? He wants them to be totally taken away, as Colossians says. But it's a free gift that he offers to you, but you have to reach out and take it. You have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm tired of living the life that I'm living. I know that I'm a sinner, and I want to repent of those sins. And I want to turn to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only to take me to heaven. Can I tell you, the Bible says he will in no wise cast you out. There's plenty of room at the cross. What a precious truth that is. And you'd say, Pastor, I don't have a clue. I got questions and so forth. You know, we would love to take the Word of God and spend a few minutes with you and unfold for you some truths of God's Word. In just a few moments, what we're going to do is we're going to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And Pastor Charette will be to my left and Pastor Caleb will be to my right. And if you say, boy, I've got some questions, would you see them and just say, hey, I really have some questions in my heart. We'd love to take the Bible and answer those questions. We're not interested in you, quote unquote, being a Baptist or being a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church. We would love for that, by the way. We're interested in you knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what we're interested in. And so in a few minutes, we're going to stand. Christian, if you already know what God's done in your heart and you just want to come and kneel, maybe it's been a long time since you've said, Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Maybe you just need to do that. I wish you'd take a few minutes to do that. As the Holy Spirit works. Would you stand together? Pianists and organists are going to begin to play quietly with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor Caleb and Pastor Charette are here. If God's working in your life, would you come as we wait quietly?